Over the past few weeks here in New Heights, we have been looking at female heroines in the Old Testament. Last week we looked at Rahab, and this week we turn to another heroine, and her name is Ruth. Hear now the Word of God as it comes to us from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephronites from Bethlehem, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take her back to Judah. Then Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant each of you that you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then Naomi kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? I am going to have more sons who could come be your husband. Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't beg me to leave you or turn back from you, for where you will go, I will go, and where you will stay, I will stay. And your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just the other day, my mother-in-law came to visit. And we all decided to go together to Schlitterbahn Water Park up in New Braunfels. And we got on one of the slides, I believe it was called Cliffhanger. And we decided before we got on the slide, because it broke off one section to the left and one to the right, that we would all stick together and go to the left. Well, we were moving down the slide, but my mother-in-law had forgotten and got to having so much fun in her inner tube that she took the slide to the right. And we lost her at Schlitterbahn. Got to the end of the ride, still couldn't find her. My wife and I went back to the cooler where our home base was, didn't find her there either. So we split up, and here I am looking in every hot tub and line for the concession stand. And I must have had a panicked look on my face because one of the lifeguards, young guy, comes up to me and says, "Are you looking for somebody?" And I said, "Yeah, I can't find her." He said, "Well, what does your daughter look like?" And I said, "Well, no. Actually, it's not my daughter, it's my mother-in-law." And he looks at me and with this classic Texas A&M accent says, "Dude, bro, that's messed up." Well, it could have been worse. Thankfully, my wife found my mother-in-law at Schlitterbahn. But I got to thinking, just how far would I be willing to go for my mother-in-law? If things had taken a turn for the worst, how far would I have gone for her? And I think that's the question that's lingering on Ruth's mind this morning. Because we turn to Scripture, and here's what's going on. Naomi and her husband Elimelech have left Bethlehem because there's been a famine. And they have traveled to the land of Moab in search for food. But when they get there, Elimelech dies and Naomi is left a widow. Not only that, but Naomi's two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, have married to Ruth and Orpah. And those two sons, over the course of a 10-year period, have died as well. And Naomi is left husbandless and childless. And so she says to her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, "Well, you go from here, go back to your home. I'm going to go elsewhere. I'm going to go back to my home." And Orpah, one of her daughters-in-law, says, "Okay, I'll go back to my home." But Ruth, her other daughter-in-law, looks up at her and says, "Naomi, I'm not going to let you get away with that. For where you go, I'm going to go. And where you're going to die, I'm going to die. Because your God is my God, and your people are my people." Just how far was Ruth willing to go for her mother-in-law? She was willing to go the distance. Willing to pack up her bags and leave everything that she had, everything that was familiar with her, and walk to be with Naomi wherever she went. Now we know from Scripture that Ruth was not customarily expected in that culture, nor was she legally obligated to follow Naomi back to Bethlehem. And so what you see here in Ruth is a love for her mother-in-law that's willing to go above and beyond what is considered normal or expected. So what I want to do this morning is just make four observations about Ruth's love for Naomi. And my first observation is this: it was completely unmerited and completely undeserved. For when you think about it, Naomi didn't have anything to offer Ruth. No money. Heck, she couldn't even find food. Couldn't offer her social status or position or anything else for following her to Bethlehem. Nothing. Nevertheless, Ruth's love for Naomi is completely unmerited or completely undeserved. Naomi did not have to earn Ruth's love. It was not as if Naomi called Ruth's lawyers and said, "Ruth, you got to remember, you got to follow me. You're legally obliged to do this." No, there was nothing Naomi did to earn Ruth's love. It was completely unmerited and completely undeserved. And then second, I think Ruth's love for Naomi was also steadfast. Nothing that Naomi could say could separate Ruth from loving her mother-in-law. And mother-in-laws can be quite stubborn, can they not? Joan Rivers, who is a celebrity, once remarked that her mother-in-law came to visit her home. And Joan said to her, "Well, just remember, my house is your house." And her mother-in-law replied to her, "Well, then get the heck off my property." And I think Naomi, when you think about it, is just this stubborn. There are three lines in Scripture attributed to her begging Ruth not to go with her. "Ruth, don't go with me. Don't go with me." But Ruth's love for Naomi is such that it's relentless. She's not going to let Naomi and her stubbornness talk her out of going with her. Ruth's love for Naomi is steadfast. And then third, Ruth's love for Naomi is also sacrificial. She had to give up what she had known. She had lived there in Moab for 10 years and pack her bag and move to an unfamiliar place to be with Naomi. And if you've ever loved somebody, you know what I'm talking about here. Remember a couple of years ago when my wife and I got married, Mitzi Dunn from the music department knitted this scripture for us and put it in a frame from Ruth to Naomi, the scripture that says, "Where you will go, I will go, and your God will be my God." I was thinking to myself, gosh, what a wedding present. I mean, here's a widow writing to another widow. I'm thinking, you know, if there's a scripture like 1 Corinthians 13 or Colossians, maybe, but is there some, you know, assassination plot that I don't know about? But, you know, I got to realize then after a while that this was one of the wisest wedding gifts I ever received. Because I'm starting to learn that in my love for my wife, sometimes I have to go wherever she goes. And you know what this is like. Somebody in your family gets sick and you got to go to the hospital. Your child gets in trouble and you've got to go and get in trouble with them. You have got a health issue in your family and you've got to follow that wherever it leads. You're now caring for your own parents and you've got to go there with them into unfamiliar territory. And I think this is exactly what Ruth is willing to do for Naomi, willing to sacrifice so much that she's willing to travel into unfamiliar territory to be with her. And then fourth and finally, I also believe Ruth was willing to go the distance for Naomi, to go all the way home to be with her. For she didn't stop halfway to Bethlehem, but went all the way home to be with Naomi. I think about Ruth and her friendship with her mother-in-law. And you know what? This is somebody that I would really want to be a part of my family. This is a friend that I would really want to have. This is a woman who is, yes, a heroine, and yes, loyal to her mother-in-law. But I think Ruth's love for Naomi is more than that. I think it's more than just a love between two friends. In fact, what I believe is that Ruth's love for Naomi gives you and I a glimpse of God's love for us. For just as Ruth loved Naomi, so too does God love us in a way that goes above and beyond what is expected. Let me explain. For starters, God's love for us is completely unmerited and completely undeserved. I'm reminded of a scripture in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, in which the Israelites turn their back on God and they rebel on God and they blaspheme His name. And nevertheless, God looks at them and says, "Because you are precious in my sight, I love you." There was nothing the Israelites did to earn that love. I think about later in Scripture also when the Apostle Paul says, "Christ died for us while we were yet still sinners." When did Christ die for us? When we had mastered the faith? When we had conquered sin? When we had it all figured out? No. Christ died for us while we were yet still sinners. And this proves that there's nothing we can do to earn His love. And I think about my own life, and I think about the freedom that gives me. Because often I stand on the performance treadmill and I want to say, "Gosh, God will love me whenever my family becomes perfect. Or whenever I preach the perfect sermon. Or whenever the building is packed." But you know, the more and more I read the scripture, the more and more I realize that there's nothing I can do to earn God's love. God's love for me is completely unmerited and completely undeserved. And then second, just as Ruth's love for Naomi was steadfast, so too is God's love for us. For the promise of Scripture in the book of Romans is that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Paul asks, "Will powers, will depth or height or principality or nakedness or sword or famine?" "No," said Paul, "nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ." It's as if God loves us so much that the love He shows for us is the love of a stubborn mother-in-law. That I'm not going to back down. That I'm going to love you so much. I will not back down from that love. God's love is steadfast. And then third, God's love for us is also sacrificial, willing to go for us into an unfamiliar place. As Max Lucado wrote in his recent book, 3:16, God was willing to swap the company of angels in heaven for a company of killers. He held the world in the palm of His hand, but chose instead to swim in the womb of a maiden. He had all the power of the universe, but gave it up to share, as Josh mentioned to you this morning, our jersey or our skin. He was willing to go to an unfamiliar place for each and every one of us. God's love is completely unmerited, completely undeserved. It is steadfast, so steadfast, it's stubborn. God's love for us is also sacrificial, willing to go to an unfamiliar place on our behalf. And then fourth and finally, God's love for us is such that He's willing to go for us all the way home. For Jesus did not stop halfway to the cross, but rather brings us all the way home to our eternal real estate. I'll leave you with these words of Scripture from John's Gospel. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, said Jesus, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself. And then note his final line as it echoes the words of Ruth when she spoke them to Naomi. So that where I am, there you may be also. God's willing to love us so much to take us all the way home. Not just to Bethlehem, but to our eternal home. Let us pray. Great and gracious God, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for the friendships in our lives that exist, like Ruth and Naomi. I thank you that your love for us is steadfast and that it is unmerited and undeserved. And I ask, Lord, that you would help each of us to receive that love in new and powerful ways and to share that love with all we meet. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ, who is love, that I pray, for he is our rock and our redeemer, our hope both in this life and in the life to come. Amen.